Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. As you make your travel plans, remember JohnnyDollarAir.com. JohnnyDollarAir.com is a Priceline affiliate. You can name your own price on hotels, rental cars, airline tickets, and even more, or choose from great published fares. Plus, part of the purchase price goes to support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio at no additional cost to you. So remember, when making your travel plans, check JohnnyDollarAir.com first. Now it's time for today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. The original air date, July the 9th, 1961, and this one is The Fiddle Faddle Matter.
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Johnny. This is Earl Foreman.
Earl?
You know, Tri-State Life and Casualty.
Sure, in dear old Los Angeles, California.
No.
I should say West Los Angeles.
No, sir.
Only I thought you'd given up the insurance business to retire out there in the Golden West.
No more,
Johnny.
You
were going to do nothing but laze around in that California sunshine, maybe play a little golf. Hey, wait a minute. Did I hear you throw in a no somewhere along the line there?
You sure did.
No to what?
California.
Huh?
I mean that Mike, my darling wife, and I are back home in Florida again.
No kidding.
No kidding. Right back here in Sarasota.
I'll be darned. When that happened?
A couple of months ago. And by way of keeping out of mischief, I've taken over the Tri-State office again.
Oh, I get it. You're back to your old habit of putting in a pitch for me to get on down there and do some fishing with you.
Maybe. Among other things.
Other things like what?
Like insurance investigation. What else? How's your musical ear?
Well, I think I can tell the difference between a fiddle and a bass drum, if that's any help.
It may be, Johnny. It may be.
What's up, Earl?
As long as the company will pay your expenses, why don't you come on down here and see?
Okay. Why not?
The CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Tri-State Life and Casualty Insurance Company office in Sarasota, Florida. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Fiddle Faddle Matter. Expense account item one, 7940 taxi out to Bradley Field and a plane heading south. The flight was quick and easy, and by early afternoon, I was in the office of 1306 Main Street that Earl shares with another old friend of mine, Don Boomhauer, a prominent real estate operator.
Don't let Earl kid you for 1 minute, Johnny.
What do you mean by that, Don?
Only real reason he wants you down here is to go fishing with him. And maybe in the hopes he can get you to settle down here, which wouldn't be such a bad idea, Johnny.
Now, stop making with the pitch, Don. You dig up Earl for me so I can get to work on his insurance problem.
Well, I try.
And he did very well. Tell me, do you know anything about why he wants me down here?
I told you.
No, I mean about the job he has for me.
Oh, that. Well, Johnny, it's probably the most unimportant case anybody ever handed you. Did you ever hear of Mr. Joseph R. Tetrick?
Nope, never heard of him.
Real big in oil and steel and copper a while back. Came down here to retire. Built himself a big house at the north end of St. Armand's Key, really on Lido Shores.
And?
Well, that house of his includes an air-conditioned walk-in vault big enough for the average bank. And why?
Why?
It's to keep his collection of fiddles in.
Collection of fiddles?
That's right, violins. Fine, rare violins.
Oh, he must be quite a musician.
Nope, doesn't know a hemisemidemic quaver from a G-string.
What'd you say?
I wouldn't know the difference myself, Johnny, so don't ask. But that collection is his one pride and joy in life. A couple of genuine Strads. You heard of a Stradivarius engine?
And everybody?
Plus one called an Amati and a Paganini or a Pagliacci or whatever it is, and a Guarnerius. And oh, boy, that collection must be worth hundreds of thousands, Johnny.
Well, what's happened?
Well, now, the one he cares about most is was a Bissiac.
Never heard of that one.
Well, now, apparently this man Bissiac over in Italy, and not too long ago at that, made a whole raft of real good fiddles, you know, worth $1,000, $2,000 a piece.
Mm-hmm. I'll take your word for it.
But this one, they call it the Canary on account of its almost yellow color. Unlike the others he made, this one, the one Tetrick had, was just about the finest that he ever... Well, anyhow, Earl insured it for $10,000.
Get to the point, Don.
Well, like he always does every couple of months, and I mean with all those good fiddles, you know, Tetley took the Bissiac to a fiddle maker for a kind of a checkup, just to make sure it was still strung up properly and okay and all, you know.
Well, you say that he doesn't play himself.
No, not a note, sweeter, sir.
Seems like an awful waste.
Yes, I know. It's a waste of all of them. But anyhow, he took the Bissiac to this man for his regular checkup.
Took it to whom, Don?
He's an old Italian, name of Antonio DiPolito. And he's been down here over a year now, has his little shop at the end of Palm Avenue.
DiPolito?
Yeah, DiPolito. Anyhow, he took the fiddle to him yesterday. And this morning early, the police found the place broken into. Old man DiPolito on the floor, still out from a bang on the head. And of course, that Bissiac fiddle was gone.
Mm-hmm. Now, have the police any leads on who got into that shop and how?
Nary a one, Johnny. But...
Yeah.
Now, about 2 hours ago, Tetrick called Earl up on the phone and told him to hop on out to his home on the quay, that he was certain he had the answer to the whole thing.
That's where Earl is now.
Yes. And if you ask me, if Tetrick does know who did it, you've wasted your time coming down here.
And I better try calling Earl at the Tetrick place. You mind if I use his phone?
Wait a minute. Hold everything, Johnny. Don't bother. He's just parked his car out front.
Oh, good. What's the matter with him?
Oh, yes. He does look kind of funny, doesn't he? Hi, Earl. How are you?
I should say, what's all the gloom about?
Well, hi, Johnny. I'm glad you got down here so fast.
Tell me, Earl, did old man Tetrick really know who took his fiddle and how and why, like he said he did on the phone?
I guess he must have, Don. I guess he must have.
Must have?
Yes, Johnny. By the time I got out there to his place, Tetrick was dead. Oh, murdered.
Man can tell you outside eating takes on extra pleasure when you serve 7-Up. It can be hot dogs on the grill, hamburgers on the broiler, or charcoal cooking that's really extra fancy. 7-Up just plain makes them all taste better. That's because 7-Up sharpens up your taste buds. Trout fresh from a stream, backyard barbecue, picnic at the beach. 7-Up is the greatest outdoor eating companion you can take along. So pure and wholesome, everyone can enjoy it, regardless of age. When you're planning a cookout, include plenty of 7-Up. Fresh up with 7-Up.
By the time Earl Pullman got back to his office to tell us about the murder of Joseph Tetrick, the Sarasota police had arrived there and a full-scale investigation was underway. Results so far, nothing. Apparently, someone Tetrick knew had gone to see him. There were no signs of the house having been broken into. He'd let them in himself and got slugged to death with just one blow with a heavy crystal ashtray. But the police had found no fingerprints, no clues of any kind, not yet.
So if you want to go on over there and talk with the police, well, it might be a good idea, Johnny.
Yeah, I suppose so. Don, Earl, either do you have an extra car I can use for a while?
Oh, sure, Johnny, sure. Here, take these keys. It's the light tan job out in the back there.
Thanks, Don.
Oh, better still, I'll drive you over there, Johnny.
No, Earl. To where I'm going, I think I'd rather go alone. The little shop of Antonio DiPolito, there at the end of Palm Avenue, was just that. Little and dirty and thoroughly cluttered with the tools of his trade. In the dusty fly-specked window, he had half a dozen or so dark brown, cheap violins in a stack of fiber cases. Inside, on a couple of shelves serving as a counter, was the usual stock of strings, rosins, mutes, and so on. Mr. DiPolito sat behind his workbench, a bandage around his head, concentrating on a refinishing job on the fiddle in his lap. Now, let me say again that I'm no expert, but it did strike me that he was doing a rather good job with the varnish that he so carefully, painstakingly applied.
He's a kid. He's a crazy kid.
The body of the violin took on a sort of old-world patina under his expert hand.
These are children. They get us so careless. They drop the violin to make it a crack in the belly.
That's a good violin, Mr. Ippolito?
It's maybe $150, $250, mm-hmm. but it's too good for the kid. He don't take care of him. So I got to fix up. Put on the varnish. Then he's to look like a $500.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Okay. Now I'm hang it up to here. It'll dry. Yeah. And now, what am I going to do for you, mister?
I'm an insurance investigator, Mr. Ippolito.
Oh. Oh, yes. It's a terrible thing. Yes, I did happen last night. The Bisiak, the beautiful, beautiful canary Bisiak.
I call it canary because of its color, I understand.
Yeah.
Because it had sort of a yellowish cast to it, hmm?
And because of the way it could sing, like only the most beautiful violin of a master can sing. Only my own boy, my young Antonio. Yeah, but now the violin is gone. What a terrible thing.
You want to tell me what happened to the Bisiak?
I was working on it, Mr.
Dollar, Johnny Dollar.
You see, I was alone. It was very late. And because it was the beautiful Bisiak, and I pulled down the shades in at the front. I locked the door, just like I'm telling the police, so that nobody would see me in here so late.
Yes?
And I'm, I guess I fall asleep. And then I'm going to wake up, because I'm here, somebody in behind me.
Could you see who it was?
By the time I'm turning my head, he's a hate to me, and a hate to me. I want to know that. Only he's a daylight. And I'm going to see the police when he's a bang-bang on the front door, so I'm going to let him in.
Well, the door was still locked then?
Yes, yes.
And he'd come up behind you?
Yes. From the window in the back of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Come, I'm going to show you where he's a break open at the window while I'm asleep.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Now, here. You see where he cut at the glass? Where he make it the hole to reach in and lock at the window?
Use a glass cutter and probably some tape to keep the glass from falling and waking you.
That's what the police says.
Looks like the work of an amateur, though.
Why do you say that, Mr. Dollar?
Well, you see, instead of a clean, round stroke with a glass cutter, he made a whole flock of straight scratches with it. You see?
Huh?
You see that?
Yeah.
The kind of clumsy grooves that he cut?
See. But he's thinking he hit me.
Now, Mr. Ippolito.
Yes?
Like I've said a couple of times now, I don't know very much about these things. But you tell me, where could a violin, a fine violin like that, where would a person be able to buy one?
Well, Bisiak.
I mean, surely a little place like this of yours wouldn't sell them.
Oh, no.
At least if those you have in the window are any sample of the stock you'd carry.
Oh, no. Fine violin is like a fine jewel.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. And it's a lot more conspicuous. So whoever stole a thing like the Bisiak would either have to hide it away for years or get rid of it immediately before the alarm was out.
Mm.
The only place I know of that would handle a fine violin.
Oh.
Yeah, I kind of thought you might be coming over here. Feeling any better, Ippolito?
See, thank you, Mr. Bowman.
Good. The only place I know of that would trade in a fiddle like the Bisiak and those Strads and the rest, well, as a matter of fact, that's where old Tetrick got all his violins.
Where?
The famous Wurlitzer collection up in Chicago.
Sure.
I could be wrong, but the way I understand it, practically all the great violins in the world have passed through their hands.
Okay, then. I'm on expense account, right?
Well, of course, but Johnny, what just happened to Mr. Tetrick is far more important than the fiddle right now.
Or is the fiddle the key to that murder?
Murder?
I'll leave Don's car here.
Huh?
That is, if you'll drive me out to the airport. Item 2 is 7905, plane fare to Chicago. I had a late dinner and spent the night at the Blackstone Hotel. That's item 3. Call it $15 even. In the morning, within 5 minutes of the time they opened for business, I was talking with one of the experts at the Wurlitzer collection.
Well, of course, Mr. Dollar will immediately notify every one of our branches, too, New York, Los Angeles, and so on, to be on watch for that Bisiak.
Good.
And, of course, we'll let you know right away if it shows up. Beyond that, however, I don't know what we can do.
Well, I'm afraid I don't either.
Terrible shame if it's got into the wrong hands. Only a true artist could do justice to that violin, but then, of course, No such artist would dare to use it.
Why is that?
Well, because it's now known to be stolen, too easily identified because of its unique, almost yellow color.
Oh, I see.
Poor Emil will be heartbroken when he learns of this.
Emil?
Emil Victor, who once owned it, played it in concerts all over the world before he brought it to us and we sold it to Mr. Tetrick.
Tell me, why did this Emil Victor ever sell it?
Well, you didn't know? Tragic accident to his hands that also left him blind?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't know. Matter of fact, I'm afraid that I never even heard of Mr. Emil. Wait a minute.
Yeah?
That name, of course.
Emil?
No. Oh, son of a gun, I knew that name had rung a bell.
Oh, who's Mr. Dollar?
How stupid can I be?
I'm afraid I don't.
Listen, Emil Victor played that Bissy act for years. Hmm?
Oh, 15 or 20 at least.
All right, then blind or not, he'd recognize it immediately if he heard it.
But I thought you just said Emil's was not the name that rang a bell, so to speak.
Don't you worry about that. Just tell me where I can find this Emil Victor and get me a list of concert bookings anywhere in this country.
Concert bookings? Now, I don't understand.
You will when I recover that Bissy act. Item 4 is 420 for a couple of phone calls to Earl Pullman. Yes, the man I was now looking for had been in Sarasota on a brief stopover before resuming a concert tour. Okay, now with the help of the concert schedule, I knew where he was going to play next. That very night, as a matter of fact. Item 5, $1.90 for a cab to the flat where the once famous violinist, poor, blind, old Emil Victor lived. I told him about my suspicions, of what I planned to do with his help.
But I cannot believe it, Mr. Dollar, that a fine young musician could, and that his own father, and perhaps he didn't know what he was saying.
Because of that bang in the head? Who really knows how hard he was hit? Maybe that wallop on the head was faked.
But if he was unconscious the rest of the night...
Well, that's what he says. Who can prove otherwise? Look, he distinctly told me the shades were down so that no one could see him working on the Bissy act.
I see.
Yet later he told me that when he came to, he could see the cop, could see him outside knocking on the door.
Mr. Gunn.
Now, one of those statements is false. But I really deserve a kick in the pants because of those scratches, because I didn't get wise to them right then and there.
Scratches, Mr. Dollar?
Yes, from a glass cutter on the window in the back of the shop to make it look like that was the way somebody had got in there. But don't you see? I could feel them. I could feel the grooves there with my fingernail on the inside of that window.
But that only proves...
And another thing. Now, I don't know how much the old man knows about fixing fiddles, but when it comes to refinishing them, he is great. That much I saw for myself. Refinish, recolor, call it whatever you like. But my biggest boner was in failing to pick up the cue when he was talking about the Bissy act.
What do you mean?
He said, if only my own boy, my young Antonio. Don't you see what he was trying to get across? Was if only his own boy could play a fiddle like that. He tried to plant the idea that the boy never would.
But Mr. Dollar...
Let's go, Mr. Victor.
But don't you see, if it was as you suspect, If young Antonio does have it, if his father did change the color...
That's exactly what I'm betting on.
But then who could prove it's the canary Bissiak?
Are you kidding? You.
Me?
Come on, we got to get to a plane to that concert in El Paso tonight. Item 6, $172.50, taxi to the airport, then plane fares for the two of us to Fort Worth and a hop westward to El Paso. There, thanks to a captain of police, our tickets for the symphony concert cost us nothing because, yes, the soloist for the evening was young Antonio DiPolito. I'll say this for him. The short, dark, intense-looking kid could really play beautifully on the rather reddish-brown-colored violin that he used.
Absolutely sure. How could I be mistaken? when that instrument of heaven was my own for so many years.
Okay.
Would a father not recognize his own child? And I tell you, the Bisiak was far closer to me than a child could ever be. It was a part of me, as much as my own hands and mind and spirit are a part of me. From the first note that young Antonio played, I knew it was the Bisiak.
Good.
Even though it does not quite sound the same as it did.
What do you mean?
Because of the varnish he must have used, the old man, to change the color.
Mm-hmm.
There is a dryness to the tone that was not there before. It is just as robust, as commanding in its tone as ever. Yet there is a dryness, too, that only I would hear. But it is the Bisiak, the Canary Bisiak. Of that there can be no question.
Okay, then come on. We'll pick up the police and wait for him in his dressing room. After the concert was finished, there in the dressing room when he was faced with the facts as I now knew them, temperamental young Antonio screamed and fought like a tiger. Literally had to be held down by the police. But then when the old master Emil tore into him and really put his heart in it, the kid broke down and confessed. Not only to theft of the fiddle with his father's help, but to the murder of Mr. Tetrick. It seems that Tetrick had called him in to tell him that he suspected him. And when Tetrick picked up the phone and called Earl Pullman, Tony struck him down and killed him.
Oh, I told you. I've told you everything. So you can take me away. You can kill me, too. But he deserved to die.
Did he, Tony?
Keeping such a priceless instrument locked up in a vault. It had to be played and played and played as only a true artist like me can play it. To thrill an audience with the warmth and color and sound that only I, Antonio, can bring from anything I touch. And now, thanks to you, I shall play no more.
No?
All this talent of mine, this matchless technique wasted. All the years that my father spent working, begging, even stealing so that I could study. And the hours and days and years of practice that I spent developing this wonderful gift that I have wasted.
Is it?
But it's the world that loses. Never again will an audience be able to feel the outpouring of my soul in the music of my violin. Without an audience to feel the power of my every note, I shall play no more.
Why not, Tony?
What?
Well, if an audience is all you need, seems to me that where you're going, you can be pretty sure of a captive one. So, from here on out, it's up to the courts. And that means for his father, too. You know, I wonder if the Tetrick estate will put the priceless fiddles in that collection in the hands of musicians where they can be used and appreciated. I hope so. Expense account total, including back to Chicago with Emil Victor and a trip home. That is, after a few days of fishing with Earl Pullman back in Sarasota. $681.80. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Suffer a touch of arthritis or rheumatism, and you've never tried Mentholatum Deep Heating Rub, you can't know how good its deep heating action can make you feel. As you massage it into painful areas, you feel its deep heating action. You know relief is on its way. Mentholatum Deep Heating Rub is an extra strong combination of active ingredients for safe, temporary relief of minor arthritic rheumatic pain. Use greaseless, stainless, Mentholatum Deep Heating Rub often. Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, the old-fashioned murder matter. As if there was anything new-fashioned about it. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar is written by Jack Johnstone. produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr. Musical supervision by Ethel Huber. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also heard in our cast were Santos Ortega as Dipolito, Leon Janney as Emil Victor, Richard Holland as Tony, Frank Behrens as Don Boomauer, Sam Gray as Earl Foreman, and Bill Lipton as the violin expert. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for another exciting story of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Art Hanna speaking. First word in speed, the last for accuracy, expanded CBS News on the CBS Radio Network.
CBS Radio.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, I was impressed by the amount of research done for this story. Not particularly sympathetic with Antonio, because I think you can debate the morality of taking something that could be used to bring people pleasure and locking it away in a vault. However, when you commit murder, that just has a way of ceding the moral high ground. With that, we turn to listener comments and feedback. Jones says of Mandel Kramer, the second best actor to play Johnny. Bob Bailey is still the best. Amy says, I really enjoyed the new Johnny Dollar. It felt so familiar when I heard the first one. Aha, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. That's why it sounds familiar. And honestly, more modern than the previous ones. I missed the music from the last group, though. And this story, referencing the imperfect crime matter, is solid, too. And Wayne says, the good old days, listen to these every night. Well, thank you so much for your comments. And yeah, Mandel Kramer's generally held to be one of the better Johnny Dollars. And I hope you enjoyed hearing today's episode. That will do it for tonight. Oh, join us back here tomorrow for Dragnet next Friday, another episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.